Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our subject today is open your eyes. Open your eyes. And the text is from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. That is where Elisha and his servant saw the enemies around. It says, "And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open my eyes that I may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Amen.
Amen.
There are things that you cannot see. There are things you don't want to see. There are things that we are ignorant of. Maybe you look for your keys, you cannot find your house keys. And you're searching everywhere, and you ask your friends, "Have you seen my key?" And all the while, the key was in your hand. You didn't realize, you didn't see. When a road accident happens, the answer people usually give is, "I didn't see." 2 or 3 years ago, the Russians were building up the army before invading Ukraine, and the politicians, they didn't want to see the reality. There is something about seeing. God has given us physical eyes, and God has given us spiritual eyes. We have to open our eyes and see what others cannot see. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit who helps us to see. He makes things known to us so that we are able to see what we didn't see before. Maybe He wants us to go somewhere, and He shows us even the address of where we should go. You believe and you do what He says, and you will see. There are things we should see and understand. Jesus said He came to give sight to the blind. But when the Pharisees questioned Him, He gave this answer in John 9:40 and 41. "Then some of the Pharisees who were with Him heard these words and said to Him, 'Are we blind also?' Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains.'" Christ came into the world to give sight to those who were spiritually blind. Also to those who were seeing, that they were made blind. But those who have high conceit of themselves, they think, "I know everything, my wisdom, my knowledge, my position, I know everything." And they are blind. So that question, "Are we blind also?" reveals that they didn't understand spiritual things. Jesus was talking and healing the blind. His words meant that those who see should understand the reason of His coming. He came to give physical sight to the blind because he had compassion for them. But he also came to give spiritual sight so they could understand things pertaining to God. They were religious and obeyed all laws, but they didn't understand the reason of these laws. He came to die for our sins, for the sins of people, yet they didn't understand. Isaiah said about Jesus in chapter 53, verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs, and he carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." This is spiritual blindness, spiritual darkness. He carried our infirmities, but we thought he was killed by God. There are many blind Christians. They do not understand the reason for going to the church. They don't understand why they should read the Bible every day. It's spiritual blindness if someone thinks reading the Bible on the phone just on the go. That means they don't read it at all. The Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of the Almighty. Do you know who Jehovah is? Do you know who he is? Don't you have any respect for him? Reading his word gives respect to him and it fills our lives. And some people, they say, "I have no time." I wonder what your boss would say if he gives you a job to do and you say, "I have no time." You will be sent on the spot. God can wait, people say. When it is convenient for me, I will respond. This is not only blindness, this is arrogance. They don't understand why they should live a holy life. And God said, "Be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I am holy." Most people, they don't even know what it means to be holy. You are not created for anything else but to be holy. If God says, "Be holy," then it is a command. Who are you to say holiness is not important? Who are you to say, "I am not blind"? Many Christians live as if they were in the world. Jesus said, "You cannot be a friend of the world and of God." You cannot love God and love the world at the same time. Those are two different things. Yet most Western Christians, they love the world and they love distractions. They say they have no time to read the Bible and they have no time to go to the church, simply because they don't see the spirituality of it. They don't see spiritual. Some act if being a Christian was a religion, and you can get married if you go to the church. They think going to the church gives them some points with God. They think by living under the law gives them merit. Every Christian should go to church, but not to get points with God. God doesn't love you. God doesn't love you more because you come to the church. Because in the church, we are worshiping God and we are encouraging each other. Attending should make you serve God it should make you serve others, other believers. May God take away the blindness of those eyes, that they may bow and humble themselves before God and pray. Some people ask the same question as the Pharisees. Are we blind also? The problem is not the blindness, but the reason that they thought they see. How many say, for me it is okay? How is your spiritual life? Oh, for me it's okay. And if I ask, how is your soul? The response is usually, oh, I'm good. They don't want to think, how is your spiritual life? They also are also blind that they do not understand the wretched life. Let's go back to our opening verse. The Syrian enemies of Israel came to attack the prophet because the prophet always told the king what the enemies were doing. So they endeavored to kill the prophet. As the servant got up early in the morning, he saw the enemy surrounding them and he was shocked. So often when troubles hit us, we get shocked. Fear causes us to be paralyzed. You are not able to think clearly. You don't know how to act. The servant was struck with fear and shouted to the prophet, what shall we do? Has it happened to you that he said, what shall I do? Countless times Jesus said, don't fear. Don't fear, it is me. Don't fear, have faith. When they were in a boat, almost drowning because of the storm, Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping while the disciples were rowing for their lives. They woke him up and said, don't you care that we are drowning? But his answer was, oh, ye of little faith, why don't you have faith? In the same way, those fiery horses and chariots surrounded Elisha's house, so in the same way they are surrounding us. We need not worry about anything. Just be still. Just be still. The Lord is fighting for you. Keep calm and see the deliverance the Lord brings. The natural man sees only the physical, what is physical. He sees the problems and tries to find a way out. Oh man of God, what shall we do? Oh man of God, what shall we do? The man of God kept calm and asked God to open his eyes. Now he was able to see the protection of God. Too often when something happens, we react naturally. We shout, we struggle, we wonder how to get out of this problem. Most are calling friends here and there on the telephone all the time, telling their problems, and what shall I do? But by discussion, the problem is not solved. Instead of discussing the problem, you should discuss the solution. Open your eyes and see. Others take to alcohol or try to swallow the problem somehow. Some become workaholics, yet the problem is not solved. You cannot put yourself out of the miry clay. Oh man of God, what shall we do? Total despair. Yet there is only one thing you need to do. Open your eyes.
Amen.
When Hagar was in the wilderness, having nothing to drink, she almost despaired. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well nearby. Ask God to open your eyes so that you see the deliverance. The Israelites were hemmed in on all sides, enemies all around, no solution. When God divided the Red Sea, there was a way out of the trouble. When nothing works, ask God to open your eyes so that you can see the deliverance. He can make a way out where there is no way. He can divide the Red Sea so you can go through. He can divide the Jordan River so that you can get through. The fiery horses and the chariots was a mighty army of angels. Revelation says that there are thousands upon thousands of angels. Jesus said, I could ask 12 legions of angels to come rescue me. In a legion, there are at least 6,000 soldiers, maybe more. So 12 legions would be 72,000 angels. Jesus could have called them to come and deliver him. They are at our disposal. They are at our disposal for our rescue. And also know the Great One is in you. Greater than any trouble what you have. You cannot be overcome. You are a victor as long as you submit to Jesus Christ. Further, fight your battles with praise and thanksgiving. When you are overwhelmed by the battles of this life, feeling surrounded by struggles, you need to turn to God and focus on Him and not on your problems. Instead of giving in to stress and be overcome of the problems surrounding on all sides, start praising God. When you take the bus or car, when you go to work, while you're working, praise the Lord. On the way, pray. When you come home tired from work, pray. As you do the housework, use the time and pray. Pray to God to open your eyes and to see Him in your life at work, surrounding you and supporting you in these battles. Praise God for who He is and remind yourself of His power and His might. Give thanks for all His ways. He is faithful and good and lacking nothing. And He wants to help you. He just waits for you to ask. And when you see Him at work, when you open your eyes, you see what He has done and how He has helped you. Fight the enemies by shifting your focus on God. Like Elisha's servant, take heart and do not be afraid. Don't give in to panic, but instead open your eyes to see God in your life. Psalm 150 goes like this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and tabret. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praising God is a most important task. When you praise, your problems grow small. When you praise, the thanksgiving will shift your problems. So open your eyes and see the deliverance through praise. Oh, Master, what shall we do? It was the call of the servant. As Christians, we should not call, what shall we do? We should say, open my eyes. He didn't see the same that the prophet saw. The prophet saw the enemy, the army of God. The servant didn't see. So his eyes needed to be opened. May our eyes be opened so that we see the deliverance of God in whatever battle you're going through. God said to the Israelites in Exodus 14:14. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. The Lord will fight for you. Don't be still. Just be still. If you are in Christ and He is in you, you know what you have. The Great One is in you and He will fight your battles. All you need to do is to be quiet and watch the wonder how God is solving all your problems. Like sugar in the tea, just dissolve. Amen.